Mr. Marcus Brown, you are the man of alignment, athletic stance, all sorts of good stuff. I want to hear your... What are you doing that for?
We had to get the clap in. We didn't do it before it started. I know, right?
I had such a good intro there.
You can cut that out.
What do you think is the difference between good load and bad load? Every single person that is listening to this can get load in some aspect.
Yes.
What is good? What is bad? What's meh? What's not? What's the vibe?
I think at the simplest level, the easiest way to kind of talk about good load, bad load is if you have load between your shoulders and your feet, that load should directly create speed, acceleration, drive to the wakes.
Do you think that's way too open-ended? Because I feel like everyone gets load through their feet and everybody gets drive towards the wake in some aspect. Everybody moves towards the wake.
So to answer your question, yes, unless you have a good set of tools or a good set of concepts that help you understand what good load versus bad load is.
Yeah.
If you're back on the ski, like we talked about before, if you don't have stance, if you're sitting back, if you're dropping your butt back, you're pulling your arms in, like we talked about in previous episodes, you do create load that feels like good load, but you're not creating drive. Mm-hmm. And I think you would agree, when you have good load, it feels like you're getting way more, but for less effort. Ideally, that should be like for a given amount of for a given path through the course, yeah, for a given amount of space before each buoy. We're not talking about your highest pass, your toughest pass. We're talking about, in an idealistic world, kind of at your mid-level pass. If you can ski it as early as you could with a lot of load, but you ski it with less load, that's more efficient.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about when we're talking about good load. Good load is load that's that directly correlates to drive or speed or acceleration or angle.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe a sinkhole, maybe isn't. We'll find out in about
like
5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I see so many people, particularly when one certain man by the name of Nate popped up,
yep,
and made things look a lot easier than maybe other people had done over the years. People started putting in no effort.
Yeah, just stop pulling.
And just stop pulling. It's like edge changing at first wake, stop pulling. So we kind of say about this whole, it's gonna make it feel easy, it's gonna make it feel this good load, bad load. Mm-hmm. But I think what I don't want people to get is be like, okay, I need to search for that good load. I need to do nothing. I need to stand there. I need to just be still and probably not hit the position anyway, because you've got to be aggressive.
Remember
with
flow?
Yeah, you've got to be aggressive to flow into your position, to stand into a position.
Yep.
And then you've got to actually, once you find that position of good load, we've got to kind of nurture it. We've got to build it. We've got to move into it. And
trust it.
And that's what you hear. Like I remember when I was like 13, an interview came out with Nate, and he was like, everyone tells me I look so easy, but I'm like dying on the end of that rope. I'm putting every single thing that I possibly can into it.
Yeah.
And I know obviously now I'm in on a similar line length. Mm-hmm. That's what
yourself,
I feel. Yeah. You know, it's like, whoa. It's like, so every now and then you'll be skiing really well and it's you putting in all this effort, but it feels hard work. And then you watch the video, it's like, oh, that looks pretty easy. And that's kind of one thing where people can get in is, yes, we're looking for this good load and we're looking for this amazing position and we're looking for all of this efficiency and movement. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you just stand there flat on the ski and do nothing and go flat at first weight.
Exactly.
We have to
that
use
could be
this
load. That could maybe be the worst thing to take away from what I said about good load versus bad load is that it should feel like you're doing nothing.
I can guarantee you most people probably will always take the worst bit of
bit out. So I guess to say it a different way, what to your point, I think good load comes from that kind of dynamic flow that we talked about before, where you're moving your body through shapes, or you're moving your body in the correct fashion. If you move your body strictly away from the boat and you kind of push on the ski or sit back or pull your arms in and you get in the wrong shape on the ski and you try to leverage away from the boat, you end up creating a bunch of load without a bunch of speed or angle, in my opinion. So in other words, it shouldn't just be like chill work. This is hard work, but it's work in the right direction. If what that means to me, and this could be different for you, so I'm interested to hear what you think, but for me, it's moving your body in the right directions at the right times, which just kind of goes back to that kind of idea of flow, physical flow that you talked about in a previous episode, where if you move strictly away from the boat to create leverage, even if you're in a good shape, in my opinion, hips in alignment, athletic stance, arms straight and long, extensions of the rope, you can still leverage away and create a lot of load and not a lot of drive. Yeah. So for me, from buoy to first wake or centerline. It's got to be not just leverage, but it's got to be dynamic movement in the direction that you want to go. Mm-hmm. If you're not moving somehow, some form, fashion in the direction you want to go, you're going to end up almost 100% of the time creating load and not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, and I think I obviously agree with all of that. And for me, I put maybe take it a touch simpler in a way that if we're literally just talking good load versus bad load, a lot of people are searching for load with their hips, with their legs. So a lot of people, I think 95% of the people that I watch ski, they always hips back. It's hips away from the boat, because when you drop in most sports, tug of war, any single sport, you pull the hips back and you get leverage against it, and you feel your weight moving away from the pull, right? Which is the pole.
Stability.
And it feels stable, it feels strong, and it feels great when you don't have to move out of it into an efficient manner towards a swing and create edge change and drive and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But so every 90% of people do that. They put a ski on and they start pulling with their feet, pulling with their hips, pushing with their legs, and they end up in this V position against the boat, which we all obviously have seen and know.
So what's one thing that you coach or teach or that you personally do to try to eradicate that or eliminate that?
That's just trusting that load is bad load. Like the load that you feel in your hips, people search for that more and more, and they squat more, they put the hips further away, they maybe pull on their arms more. And it's just trusting that more load in the system is not what it is meant to be. Yeah. You know, there is no, I think if I can put one thing across, it is non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Position is non-negotiable. And if you are not in a tall position, doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to be amazing, doesn't have to be dead this on top of the ski, ideally, but that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
But it, to me, it's a complete non-negotiable of, okay, if you're not doing this, we need to go back, we need to go slower, we need to hit that position, we need to then be strong in that position, and then you will completely be able to fly in advance of where you were before. But if you're stuck in this big squat, you're feeling this bad load on your hips, I'm sure we can put a picture up, hips away, usually, like I say, it's hips away from the handle and end up in that big kind of V shape. Do not search for that in your lower back. Don't search for it in your legs. Don't pull with it in your shoulders. Maybe it's shoulders forwards and charging into that first wake. All of that feels like it's doing something, but at the end of the day, it's really, really, really not.
Counterproductive.
And if you get a ton of speed, then great. You've got a ton of speed, but now you're not in a position to be able to take that through edge change and swing out on that nice path that we want. You're going to have to dump the load real quick because you're in a weak position to move from. Which, no matter if it's not tall and set, it's a weak position to move from in the sport.
It's really multiple parts, isn't it? It's multiple parts. It's not only creating kind of the right shape with your body to create good load in the center line so that you can create speed and therefore ski into angle, but also, for me, it's like you just said, that position's also key. That load management's also key so that you can, from center line out, deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Like, for instance, there's great skiers, like a Dave Miller, who can run 39 repeatedly and create obviously enough speed and enough drive and angle into first wake or center line to run 39 and run halfway through 41. But I would say he's compromised in the way he does that, because then from center line out, he's not able to manage that and he ends up losing.
So I could be talking completely out of my bottom at this moment. At one point when he was, I assume all of the big dog skiers that are running into 41 now were good skiers at 30,
Dave used to ski some pro events, 36.
When he skied at those pro events at 36, did he ski in the same fashion?
More or less.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, was that, because that's, nowadays not you just barely see it. And I don't know, maybe it's perfect pass. Maybe it's maybe it's the times of zero off and that you could kind of overload it, you could pull it. You had to have a different rhythm. But the thing that I see now is you don't see many people running 39 consistently with hips back at 36 mile an hour.
Oh, he wouldn't run at 39, 36, to be clear. He was running halfway through.
Yeah.
So it was about 6 buoys below. But still, to your point.
You can get very good, but it's that kind of, and I think now with zero off and the strength of the boats, it's even more pivotal. You create one weakness in the system, which is looking for that bad load. And we all do it. I remember seeing a picture of, it was on a story. It really did me dirty. It was like the first story was me. I'm like, boom. But beautiful position, 2-4, hooked upon the pole. It was like out of a 4-39. Like I was like, boom. Yeah. And then it's the next picture was the Will Asher in the exact same position, and all of a sudden you could go forwards and backwards, and you could see my hips back here, his hips here, my hips here. But that's the 2-4 guy, right? He's if you wanted to, if you want an onside, you look at that.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Like, that's just still got
work to do.
Ton of work to do, and even though I'm relatively consistent through 39s and would class myself as a somewhat solid skier technically wise in terms of position, like a lot of people tell me that my hips are, oh man, how you stand tall through the finish is so good. Yeah. And then I keep seeing these pictures of me against all these people that are better than me, and I'm like, well, maybe that's why.
Yep.
You know, and it's that I'm looking for that safety. I'm looking for that. I can never get pulled to a flat if my hips are slightly back.
Yep.
But realistically, if I actually just trusted that position, I'm going to be faster, I'm going to be stronger, I'm going to have less back pain, which I'm really struggle with anyway, but it will come as I get older.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be better about it. But even for me, as it's my job to fix that, it's really hard to fix.
It's really hard.
Trusting that process. And
I think the trust thing, yesterday or in previous episode, we talked about that kind of position that you should be seeking is more at the beginning. It seems more unstable.
Yeah.
Or way more unstable, less stability. Yeah. You're almost like exposed in a way, but that's what you should be seeking. Mm-hmm. I think to be able to use the same amount of load and get way more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're in the right position. And so I'm big on analogies. And one of the analogies I have, that's just kind of simple, hopefully for some people to understand, is imagine a surfer. I don't surf that much, but like, the idea of catching a wave.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stay on the front of that, the leading edge of that wave, and you can paddle in and keep enough speed and find the position to be able to start riding down the face of the wave, you're almost getting kind of free ride, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I equate slalom. If you can come out of the buoy, get two hands on the handle, and start to kind of stay ahead of the pressure slightly, not by a very fine line. Push it, but don't push it with your shoulders.
Yeah.
Push it with your hips, like you talk about.
Yeah.
If you can get your knees moving and your hips moving without squatting, that's how I think about it. Then you're on the leading edge of that wave. If you end up immediately coming around the buoy, finding load, trying to get stable and find load by sitting back, like you talk about, you're on the backside of that wave. You never actually catch that ride, and the load's going to be heavy because the boat's pulling you all the way to the wakes instead of finding that right balance between, you know, where's the boat, where are my feet, where's the load through my body, and being able to use that to create effortless drive.
There's definitely something towards moving forwards into center line. It's just timing that, right? You don't want to be moving forwards the whole way through the turn, through the movement, through the thing, but
no.
Finding that timing of, okay, we're feeling the pull, we're feeling the acceleration, let's make sure we're kind of moving into that. And in a way, moving away from what we naturally think. To us two, it's probably pretty natural. We got shouted at a lot as children, I'm sure. It's hips up, get strong, get tall. So it's somewhat natural after all these years for us to hit that position. Because if we sat with our hips back, we can't hold it at 39, 41, right? We have no choice anymore.
Well, you can sometimes, but it comes back to bite you.
It doesn't feel smooth. But a lot of people kind of, especially if you're maybe starting at the shortenings 15 off, or you're running through the speeds, you can get away with it. You can, to a certain point, do it. So it's just not maybe going the opposite way and thinking, right, I'm not going to look for load. I'm not going to look for that feeling of pulling away. I'm going to look. My sole objective is going to be getting the ski in between me and the boat. And it's going to be trying to stay in as tall of a position as I can that moves myself towards the wake. Mm-hmm. So whether you feel like you need to move over the ski, whether it feel like you need to move with your hips, ankles, shoulders. But at the end of the day, video yourself. You're not stupid. You know, you can put.
Filming's a big deal.
You can put a screenshot of a pro skier against you. And if. Again, the lean's going to be different away from the boat, the load, everything. But at the end of the day, you can tell if your hips are back or not. You can tell if your shoulders are forwards or not.
Yep.
And be harsh on yourself. Go, okay, I'm going to go start speed, maybe less than start speed. And my sole purpose is to get the ski in between me and the boat, set my position tall as I move into the wake, and just feel how that pressure builds in your body. For me, it's when I do the photo shoots. Yep. When we have the photo shoots, and I hop on an Omni and I go 32 mile an hour, and I go down to 38, right? I go slow, but I go short, and I just feel like the most perfect skier I've ever been. I'm like, oh. But it's good for me because I feel the rhythm. I feel where the load's meant to be, because I have more time where I'm meant to stand on the ski, and it teaches me where that good load is, you know? And that can be really important, and that's maybe a good drill to take. It's not in the harshest way. You will get stuck if you're trying to get through these short lines and those hips are back.
Yep.
Be harsh on yourself. Be okay. I know I want to run 32 today, but let's go back. Let's go to 28 mile an hour. Let's go to 26 mile an hour. And it's just, okay.
To your point, you should seek perfection in your movement, but you should expect you're going to make mistakes.
You're going to make mistakes, and it's not easy to change. And it's but the earlier you catch it, the easier it's going to be to change speed wise. You know, if you're trying to run 32 off versus 32 mile an hour, it's going to be tough to make that change. It's going to be ingrained. It's going to be set, but not impossible. And you know, and that's where performance lies, is in that set. It's it is non-negotiable.
No, exactly. Question: when's the last time you skied like a 34 or 36 15 off?
Photo shoot run in June when we do. I go maybe 28. I think I go 28 off. I haven't skied a 15 off in a long time.
That's my question. When was the last time you skied like a 15 off?
15? No idea. 20?
Because it's weird.
It'd been like 8 years ago. It'd have been 20. 22 it'd have been off. 8 years ago. It'd have been 15 off. I did it at a nationals. That was my favorite thing. I did seven passes. 15? In the nationals, I got one at 39 and started at 15 off. It was great.
It's different. You notice how, I don't know if you remember back, like the boat's kind of always on you in a way.
Yeah, it's how I feel when I go to 28 in a way.
To From 32 more extreme, to 28.
I feel like the boat's always on me, but I've also never got the boat. Yeah. I feel like I'm so unbalanced through the turn because the rope's not there. But that's because we're used to the shorter stuff, right?
But
I think, no matter what, it's incredibly important. No, do not use the excuse if it's too slow. Unless you're 250 going 26 mile an hour, then yeah. But most of the time, it's too slow if you're on your back foot, if you're dropping your hips back, if you're pulling on your arms, if you're doing all the stuff wrong. I would argue that every single person that's watching this right now could easily run a 32 mile an hour pass at any line length. And I was like, oh, it's too slow. And you get all this. And I'm like, no, it feels slow because you push on your back foot. And it feels slow to me, right? It will if I do it. But it's the pushing on the back foot. It's the sitting back. It's the moving away. And I'm pretty harsh on this.
How about getting stuck? I know what you're saying. I feel like it's more about getting kind of stuck on the back foot. Because I feel like pushing on the back foot often can be like, you push on the back foot, like through the finish but of the turn at short forwards. Lines to push you back over the front of the ski, over your front foot.
But most people sit on the back foot.
Sit on it, exactly.
And do that way. And this is by no means a dig on everyone, but I just have natural. So many conversations with so many people, and it's something that bugs me a little bit is when people say that, say, 34 mile an hour is too slow or 32 mile an hour is too slow. It's really not. It's just a good drill to make sure you're where you are. It's going to feel slow, obviously.
Well, that is some people's toughest pass, though. They're listening as well.
Yeah, it's like of course.
30 miles an hour. Yeah. They're learning to run it. And I think often they may feel like it's too slow to kind of do what we're talking about, but I don't think it is. Yeah. Unless you're on a ski that's undersized.
Yeah. Right. And that's when, again, rhythm and timing is probably more important as you move to there. But
yeah,
I guess we've gone on a little bit of tangent.
I got one more thing to say because I want to push back. I hear this a lot. And I think this is, I'm still not in agreement with the prevailing thought that you want to get your ski between you and the boat to then accelerate. Because I feel like that gets a lot of people, and this is the difference between reality and idealism, but I feel like it forces people, or it allows them, gives them permission to kind of like get the ski between them and the boat, and suddenly as soon as the load starts coming, they're stuck on the back of the ski.
The only reason I say that is I truly dislike people who use the word patience. Like,
oh yeah,
patience. And that's terrible to me idea. It's maybe not the ideal wording, but for 99% of the time when I see people get and think about getting the ski between them and the boat, as long as they're not pushing it in front this way, it gives them a feeling of the tip wrapping around in between them, and that's why I say it. But
I think that's a great cue for that.
Yeah, it just truly depends on situation.
I think we'll get into this later because I want to talk about this in a different episode about the idealistic concepts versus what's actually happening, because the two are different. Like, you can aim, like, I tell a lot of people to aim for, like, at certain passes to aim for 50-50 load, 50% of the load on your lead arm and trailing arm. But really, I do that because they're ultimately, instead of being 100% on their lead arm and zero on the trailing arm, that's going to help them get to like 80-20. So they have some sort of balance. Usually people aren't ever going to be 50-50, but that's like a cue or a concept to hold with them. Yeah. And so when you say get the ski between you and the boat, you're not the only one. A lot of people say that. And I don't think it's bad. I think it's worse to try to be patient and let the ski do its thing, because that does not work most of the time. I think people listening probably understand that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth mentioning that the best, back to what we were saying, good load versus bad load at the beginning of this conversation, to use the power of the boat. So once you get two hands on the handle and you start to find your stance and you start to drive towards the wakes, to use the power of the boat most efficiently, I think you do this. All the great skiers in the world do this. You have stance for the most part, unless, you know, you're an anomaly like Dave Miller or somebody else who can do it with their butt back. But you use stance to get your center mass slightly, or get the rope slightly ahead of your feet. You have your mass moving slightly forward, whether it's, you know, most people know it or not.
That tends to be where the rope pulls you if you're in the right position.
Exactly. That's where the rope pulls you. Mm-hmm. But kind of back to, you know, falling into position like we talked about. But I think it's an important concept, because if people don't get that at the basic level, which you get at an innate level, you don't even need to think about it. It's just like, you know, that's the place you want
to
be.
I still think about moving forwards a lot. I still think I trust in the front of the ski is a hard thing to do for me. Yeah. Like it's incredibly tough.
Hard for most people.
That's where death lies most of the time. So it's trusting that movement forwards and seeing that boundary. But it's, for me, when I think about moving forwards too much, often I'll go too far and I'll charge forwards into the first one, into the second wave, and then get stuck on that back shoulder. Yep. So it's,
for me, you're not alone.
No. And that's a balance between, for me, I don't necessarily have to think about moving forwards. And I think it's more, I say this a lot to the people that I ski with. It's not for me about moving forwards. It's about feeling like you're moving forwards. Mm-hmm. I want you to be feeling that kind of, if you're feeling the aura around you,
Don't even start.
I know, I'm getting spiritual. But it's giving the motion of, all right, what am I going to feel to be able to advance?
Yeah.
Okay, just slightly movement onto that front foot, moving that handle forwards with me, driving that hip in, all that kind of stuff that's very little change. It's not really going to do that much, but it's that feeling of, what do I need to move towards the wake? And that, for me, fixes a lot of stuff, because it's simple. It's, you don't have to overthink it, but you just, okay, if I drop my hips back, I'm no longer moving towards the wake. If I drop my hips back, shoulders forwards, and I'm now stood in the middle, but again, my position's gone bad. So how am I going to get position and feel like I actually move things forwards?
So two or three keys, just say them right now, that you use to get yourself moving towards a position of good load.
For me, it's, you're not going to like it, but it's fine. Getting the skin between me and the boat. Mm-hmm. If I rush the shoulder and start rushing to the lean, that stops the ski from getting in under the line. Mm-hmm. And then I end up on the shoulder, or I end up rushing, or I end up doing anything. So for me, a big thing is getting feet round, rotate, set in between me and the boat. And then just feeling like, as I'm doing this, I'm moving with my ski into the wake. Again, very little actual movement going on when I think about moving into the wake, but I'm just literally feeling like, as I'm driving in, I'm just adding a little bit of rotation to feel the pressure. I'm adding a little bit of movement, a little bit of drive, feeling the handle move into the wakes. Everything that just gets me moving, you know, that isn't going to make me static and sat back on the back on the back of the ski.
I like
just
it.
Chilling. What's yours?
Well, I think what you're talking about is where you ski. You ski at short line slalom.
Yeah.
So I think at short line slalom, there's a different turning dynamic at play.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get too deep in the weeds, we'll talk about this later, but that's why I would say you and most of the best skiers in the world do resonate with getting your ski between you and the boat, because you're doing a different turn. You're not really carving. It's more of like a stivot or a smear or a pivot off the tip, and the tail rotates.
Yeah.
So in that case, if you try to carve, you carve into loose line, you carve into slack, and you can't.
No time for carving.
There's no time for carving.
But I still think that's, I think at any line length, there's no time for carving.
I disagree, though. Like 15 off, 22 off, 28 off, people are almost, like, I felt it, where you're like, there's that idea or that feeling of pure carving, where you can like allow the ski to kind of carry you back inside buoy line. And you don't necessarily have to think as much about getting it between you and the boat.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You don't have to. But I will say, once you get the ski between you and the boat, a short rope, you still then have to that's like a one move, and then there's like a second part to it once the load comes. My keys would be, for me personally, kind of any line length would probably be, once I get two hands on the handle, trying to reset load through the arms, make sure that instantly as I get my second hand on the handle, I'm trying to do whatever I can with my body to not only stay tall, keep my knees moving forward, hips moving forward, but also even out the load in my arms. Try to even out the load in my arms. A lot of people are heavy on that lead arm, the one that's breaking wind, and I try to think about loading my trailing arm about 50% as much as I can without twisting my spine. If the hips are only able to open up 5 degrees to the boat on the offside, then the shoulder should only open up 5 degrees. But you should use that to your advantage to try to even out the arm pull, because when you do that, you can limit the torque on your body and find that settled position where you're naturally exposed, like in that good load position, moving with the ski, moving towards wakes, without sitting back. So that's kind of one of the biggest cues for me.
I like it.
I think that's all the good time load, we have load. For good load, bad load.
I like it. Let's go ski.
Let's do it.
I like it. Thank you for watching, guys.
Thanks.
Any everybody. Comments, questions, further topics you would like to approach, let us know in the comments, and we will right see you guys in the next one.
See ya.